Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to personally thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you the message of truth. At the end of this broadcast, at 8 o'clock to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 on your television, we have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view and let us know what you think. We also have a website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com, that we have many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We have all our previous radio broadcasts here that you can download into MP3 files. We also have our TV programs are out there that you can download and re-examine, or if you miss one, to pick it up. We also would encourage you to come to our worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and you'll be given those times at the end of this broadcast. We want you to know that you will always be warmly received, and we would love to have you come and study and worship God with us. We are looking at an overview of the Bible, and we are in this month in the book of Hebrews. This morning we're going to look at chapters 5 and number 6. At the end of chapter number 4 last week, we examined that Jesus is our high priest. That theme continues in the beginning of chapter 5. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for man in things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself also is subject to weakness. But of this is required, as for the people, so as for himself to offer sacrifices for sin. And no man takes his honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but as was said of him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' He also said in another place, 'You are a priest forever, after, according to the order of Melchizedek.'" Now, in the old law, under the Mosaic law, the high priest would have to first offer sacrifice for his own sin, and then for the sins of the people. And he was subject to weakness because he sinned, and he did not keep the law perfectly. And it's required by God for people who commit sin, sacrifices are required for sin. And no man took that honor to himself, as Aaron was called by God to be the high priest, so is Christ called by his Father to be high priest. And he did not glorify himself, but he fulfilled prophecy. Psalms chapter 2 and 7 is quoted in verse 5, and Psalms 110 verse 1 is quoted in verse 6. Those are prophecies that were fulfilled in Christ Jesus because he was God's son. He was not appointed because he was a fleshly being. He was appointed because he was God's son. According to Melchizedek, just means that he's a priest forever. The high priest change, as one man died, another man would take over. That will not happen with our high priest. He will be high priest until the end of time. Now, verse 7, we learn something about this high priest, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his godly fear. This has reference to when Jesus prayed in the garden in Matthew 26 and the other gospel accounts, when he prayed three times that the Lord, if it was possible, to let this cup pass from him, but if it was not possible, he asked for that God's will to be done and to have the strength and the courage to do what needed to be done. And verse 8 adds to this, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." He suffered. He suffered in the flesh. He suffered on the cross. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was spit at. He was reviled. He was hit. And then he was crucified for sin. And he learned obedience by the things that he suffered for his Father. But verse 9 says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him, called by God as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Now, the Bible tells us in verse 9 that he has been perfected, he has been completed, he has finished the work that his Father gave him to do, and he became the author of eternal salvation. To who? To all that obey him. Obedience is required by our high priest in order to obtain eternal salvation. We also see that he was called by God to fulfill the prophecy of Psalms 110, verse 1 through 4, that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, simply meaning no beginning or ending. Now, he says in verse 11 that there are more details about this that I need to explain to you, but he says, you have grown dull of hearing. What does he mean? He means that they have not applied themselves to understand the more difficult thing contained in the new covenant. And he wants to go further to make this very apparent, the correlation between the high priest in Aaron and the high priest of Christ, to show the superiority of Christ's priesthood, but they had grown dull of hearing. What does he mean by that? Well, it's explained in verse 12 through 14. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, by those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In verse 12 through 14, he's rebuking them because they had not grown spiritually nor matured spiritually. And they had gone so far the opposite way that they needed someone to come in again and teach them the first oracles of God. He talks about milk and solid food. Milk are elementary principles, basic principles. And that's all they could understand. Why? Because they couldn't partake in the meat of the word, the more difficult things of the world. Why? Because they were a babe. Why? Because they had not grown. But solid food, but the meat of the word belongs to those who are mature, by reason of age, have exercised their conscience to discern both good and evil. They have taken the word of God and they've exercised their understanding to be able to grow and to understand the more difficult things of the word. Now, since they had not grown, he continues that thought in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not the laying again of the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Now again, he says we need to leave these elementary things, and he mentions the foundation of repentance from dead works. That means an active faith, an obedient faith. The doctrines of baptism. There are many different baptisms in the Bible. There are six. Of laying on of hands. That was how spiritual gifts were given. Of the resurrection of the dead. That was another contentious subject in the first century. And of eternal judgment. These things are elementary principles. These are elementary understandings. These are some of the milk of the word. And they should have already understood those. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of the God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. What's his point? His point is, once those have been enlightened by their obedience to the gospel and the partaking of the heavenly gift by the forgiveness of their sin by the blood of Christ, and have become partakers of the revealed word through the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word, and that's just a term to show that they had benefited by taking the truth that they learned and put it to practice in their life, if they fall away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what does this do to those who say that you cannot fall away? This says if you fall away. If is a condition word. And they can fall away. And why? Because they don't exercise their conscience. They don't grow to understand the meaning of the word. They don't mature. They don't grow spiritually. Therefore, they get weak and they are vulnerable and they can fall away. And if they fall away, how are they going to be brought back to God when everything that God could do to attract them, he has done, and he has already given them the invitation, they've accepted it, and then they go back in the world? What have they done? In essence, they have crucified him again. They have put him to death and put him to an open shame. What they've done is they've rebelled against him. They have rejected the crucifixion of Christ and the sacrifice of his son. How? By their willful disobedience to not mature and grow in Christ. He goes on to say in this chapter, beginning in verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those things, those who through faith and patience inherit to the promises." He commends them in verse 10 through 12 because he knows that they have been ministered to the saints. They have done good towards God's people. But he's encouraging them to have the same diligence and keep that up all the way to the end. Why? That they might inherit the faith, through their faith, they might inherit the promises. What promises? The promises made to those who are faithful in Christ. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater than himself, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them the end of all dispute. If somebody swears something and they promise to do it, that's as high as they could go. But God swore by himself. And Abraham was faithful to the promise that was made to him because he did the works of God. He followed the instruction of God. Listen to how this ends. "Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath." God's word is true. It can be counted on. It can be substantiated. It can be validated. It's something that we can have full assurance that he will do what he says. Why? "For by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Christ, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." You see, we have a more sure confirmation by an oath. Why? Because God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So everything that God has promised us and everything that God has said, he will do because he does not lie. That gives us a strong refuge that we can lay hold of the hope that is set before us. And he makes a reference in 19 to the veil between the holy place and the most holy place. And he's making a correlation that the most holy place now is heaven itself, where Jesus went after his resurrection and ascension back to the Father. And he went before the presence of God and he offered the blood that was offered on the cross of Calvary, and that blood was accepted as payment for sin, and he is the forerunner that has entered for us heaven itself as our high priest to make intercession for us. Why? Because he was faithful, a faithful son. He did his Father's will. He was obedient even to the form of death. He did his Father's will. That's the example he leaves for us. We must do the Father's will to obtain the promises of God, and we know that God cannot lie. Those promises are assured, and we are assured that we can receive them if we have faith in him and if we obey him. That is his argument, and that's what he's trying to convince the Hebrew Christians of, to stay faithful to the Lord even until the end. Thank you for listening. We will continue our study in the book of Hebrews next Lord's Day. We hope you have a wonderful day and come and worship the Lord with us.